You know, at God's church, we have greetings that we share. Today, we were met with a greeting from our song leader and our first split sermon giver and myself with Happy Sabbath. And I think that's biblical, don't you? You know, God says in Isaiah 58, rejoice in the Sabbath. And I think we all do. We're glad it's here. We're glad it's a day of rest. We're glad to be in the company of others who think like we do and share our same beliefs. And, of course, we're happy that God has called us to the knowledge of His Sabbath. During the feast, I greeted everybody every day with Happy Feast. Because, of course, God tells us to rejoice at the feast. And I like to start the service out with a smile. And I always enjoy seeing a smile come back after my greeting. And sometimes in a smaller group like this, we say Happy Sabbath back or Happy Feast back. When I'm in Hawaii, I like to say Aloha, which is a Hawaiian greeting, which is basically the same thing. You know, happy day. Good to see you again. And when I was in Israel, I would say Shalom, you know, which is a greeting for hello and goodbye. You know, we have these greetings in the church that I think are wonderful, and I believe they're biblical. A few years ago, someone greeted me with the greeting, Happy Preparation Day, on a Friday. And it got me thinking, and I did some studying a few years ago, and I shared my study results with a class I was teaching at the time back in Cincinnati, Ohio, with a number of students. And I have since spoken about it just kind of indirectly. About 2 weeks ago, one of the students that I taught there called me, lives in Michigan now, and he said, Mr. Register, can you share with me your notes on the preparation day? And your research that you did, because it's become an issue in our congregation. And I said, oh, what kind of an issue? And he explained it to me, that people were becoming polarized over this issue of the preparation day. And I frequently hear people talk and write about the preparation day. Well, what day is it? If I were to ask you, what is the preparation day? How would you answer that? Is it Friday? Is it more highly esteemed than any other day of the week? With the exception, of course, of the Sabbath. What does the Bible really say about the preparation day? So I thought it might be an interesting topic for a split sermon to talk about this topic of the preparation day. The term preparation day or day of preparation is used 6 times in Scripture. All 6 are in the New Testament. So what is said about the preparation day in these Scriptures? I think it might be an interesting study for us. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. Matthew 27 verse 62. Breaking in the middle of a thought, and most of the scriptures we'll read today center around this event. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, After 3 days I will rise. So this is after the day that Christ died, or at the end of the day, as some commentators say. Because remember, the day begins at sunset, so right after sunset, they go to Pilate and say, Hey, this guy said he was going to rise after 3 days, and we want to make sure that his disciples aren't in cahoots with him, and they're going to steal his body away, and then they're going to bring out some charlatan who looks like him. You know, they have these lookalikes in Hollywood. You ever seen those people? They dress up like the actors and actresses. I was invited to a hotel one time when I was doing the feast in Escondido up in West Hollywood, and they had a number of these actors who present themselves and dress up and look like and resemble very closely Hollywood actors. And I remember several of us were meeting some of these people, these actors who were invited to this reception for meeting planners. And Marilyn Monroe came up to me, you know, beautiful woman, and she was dressed like Marilyn Monroe, and she had the platinum wig on and everything and the kind of clothes that she would wear. And, you know, you had to take a double look. You thought, wow, has Marilyn been resurrected? Of course, we knew she hadn't, but they had a photo op there where you could sit down and have Marilyn sit in your lap. And they'd take pictures, you know, of the guys. And they had somebody there, I forget who it was Clark Gable or somebody for the ladies who were meeting planners. But I still remember I found that picture one time in my desk, and I copied it. And when the camp director asked for pictures of all the camp staff, I sent him that picture. And he called me up and said, Dave, I can't print that. Because here I was sitting there with Marilyn Monroe in my lap. But this was part of what these Pharisees were concerned about, that, you know, Christ had actually died, his body would be stealed away by his disciples, and they would put a charlatan in his place and claim he had resurrected from the dead and get this big following. In verse 64, therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night, steal him away, and say to the people, he's risen from the dead. And so the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, okay, I'll give you a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know. And so they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Verse 62 talks about the day of preparation. Well, there are at least two groups of people who want us to think that the preparation day is Friday. I want you to think about this for a moment. There are at least two groups of people that want us to think the preparation day is Friday. The Jews and the Catholics. I want you to think about that for a minute. These are the two groups of people that would like us to think that the reference to this day, the day of preparation, is Friday, are the Jews and the Catholics. Let me share with you what the Catholic Encyclopedia says about this phrase. Under prescriptions concerning the Sabbath. This is from the Catholic Encyclopedia. The prohibition of work made it necessary to prepare food and whatever might be needed the day before the Sabbath, hence known as the day of preparation, or parasceve, which is the Greek, which just means preparation. And if you have a Bible with italics, you'll notice that day of, or preparation, and then the day is in italics in some translations, meaning it wasn't in the original. In other words, there's only one Greek word. It's parasceve, which means preparation. So it's not necessarily a day of preparation or the day of preparation. It is simply preparation. And in all six instances, and we'll read all six scriptures, it is this Greek word, singular. Not day of, but simply preparation. And in the English, they have broadened it, the translators, to be day of. So keep that in mind. Let me continue reading in the Catholic Encyclopedia. This is the day on which the preparation was made. But while the Greeks retained this use of the word as applied to every Friday, the Latins confined its application to only one Friday of the year. Irenaeus and Tertullian speak of Good Friday as the day of this particular Friday. And of course, all of you have heard of and know of, and some of you come from a Catholic background and probably are very much aware of Good Friday. What is Good Friday? Well, in their theology, Good Friday is the day on which Christ was crucified, is it not? Would be this day identified by Matthew as parasceve, or preparation. Let's continue reading from the Catholic Encyclopedia. From the earliest times, the Christians kept every Friday as a feast day. And the obvious reasons for those usages explain why Easter is the Sunday par excellence, and why the Friday, which marks the anniversary of Christ's death, came to be called the Great, or the Holy, or the Good Friday. So do you and I believe that Friday was the day on which Christ was crucified? No, we do not. Absolutely. In fact, we teach otherwise. We teach that this day on which Christ was crucified was not a Friday at all, but after all was a Wednesday. And the Jews are very good at keeping these records. We can actually go back to 31 AD and we will see that the day before the Passover, the day before the beginning of the days of unleavened bread, was a Wednesday. You can actually check that on a calendar. Like I said, the Jews are very good at keeping those kind of records, as Paul said in Romans 3. You know, what advantage do they have? He said, one very good advantage is they keep good records. You know, they have preserved the oracles of God. So no, we believe that and teach that Christ was crucified on a Wednesday and that he was resurrected on a Saturday afternoon. 72 hours later, exactly as he prophesied. In Matthew 12, verse 40, he said, I will give only one sign of my Messiahship. And that is that I will be in the belly of the earth exactly 3 days and three nights. That's 72 hours. Catholics are not good at math, that's for sure. Because there's no way you can get from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning as 72 hours. It's impossible. A fifth grader can tell you that, right? But of course, they want us to believe that this day, called the Day of Preparation by Matthew, or the preparation, was a Friday. And there's good reason for that. Well, what about the Jews, before we get to these other five instances of this phrase in the Bible? Well, according to Josephus, in the book Antiquities of the Jews, he says this: Caesar Augustus, high priest and tribune of the people, ordains thus: since the nation of the Jews has been found grateful to the Roman people, that the Jews have liberty to make use of their own customs according to the law of their forefathers, and that they are not obliged to go before any judge on the Sabbath day, nor on the day of the preparation to it, after the ninth hour. This is the only other reference to the term preparation, or the Greek parashiche, outside of the scriptures that we can find. Josephus was a first century historian of the Jews. He was writing about a declaration of Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus ruled Rome from 27 BCE to 14 ACE. The ninth hour is about between 2 and 3 p.m. So basically the law of the time of the Romans ruling this land, which was still in effect when Christ came along, is still in effect when this was written, is that the Jews recognized a preparation time. Not a day, but that beginning late on Friday, around 2 or 3 o'clock, one should begin to prepare for the Sabbath. This was their custom. It was a custom of the Jews. Now keep that in mind as we turn to John chapter 19. Let's go to John 19, verse 14, where we read of this phrase again. John 14, 19. I'm sorry, John 19, 14. 19, 14. Sorry. Got my tongue all tangled. John 19, 14. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover. A little more specific. It was, remember, Parasceve. It was the preparation, not preparation day in the original Greek, the preparation for the Passover, and about the sixth hour, which had been around noon, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." So once again, John is chronicling this event of the death of Jesus Christ, and he's in the process of dying. It says he lasts about another 3 hours before he finally dies. So he dies around 3 o'clock on the Wednesday afternoon, as we've just briefly touched upon. I don't have time in addressing this topic, preparation day, to go into the details of the resurrection. That's a topic for a future sermon. But he mentions here preparation day of the Jews. As we read in Josephus, it was a custom of the Jews to stop working, or not even to go to a court or into business, after 3 o'clock on a Friday. It wasn't the whole day, it was a portion of the day, part of the day. Right? Let's understand the context. So John identifies this particular day as the day before a holy day or a Sabbath. Was a time for preparation, but specifically this is a preparation for Passover, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in detail. So let's go now to verse 31, John 19:31. John 19:31. Therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. This is where the confusion comes up. People who do not understand God's holy days also being identified as Sabbaths, which they are in Ezekiel 20, particularly. There are about 4 verses where the holy days are identified as Sabbaths as well. The plural is used. So it's not just the weekly Sabbath that the Bible refers to the holy days also as Sabbaths as well. There's a parenthetical expression in my Bible, which is the New King James, and it's referred to in the King James as well. Let's read verse 31 again. Therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, parentheses, for that Sabbath was a high day. And again, we can go back in history and we know that this high day was a Thursday. So they wanted to get the bodies off of the stake before the day actually began at sunset. And remember, we read earlier that these scribes and Pharisees were afraid they were going to steal his body away, and they wanted to get that taken care of as soon as they could after he was taken down off the stake. For that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Now let's drop down to verse 42. So there they laid Jesus in this tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had donated because of the Jews' preparation. For the tomb was nearby. So 3 of the 6 references that I mentioned earlier are found here in chapter 19. What do we know from these 3 verses? Well, number 1, it was a time of preparation, not especially a day, right? Number 2, we know that it was a day to prepare for the Passover, the Pascha, which occurred that night for the Jews. We would call it the Seder today, but in Jerusalem it was much more complicated than that. There were literally hundreds of lambs that had to be prepared and then slaughtered. It took several hours. So this day was set aside by the Jews. It was part of their tradition to set aside part of this day anyway to prepare for the slaughter of the lambs. In addition, what else did the Jews have to do this day? Well, some of what you and I do every year, they had to de-leaven their homes. Right? They had to get the leaven out before sunset. So they had to de-leaven their homes. They had to prepare for the slaughter of the Passover and the Passover meal. And I don't know about you and me, but all that takes physical labor, right? It takes time. In fact, if you're like us, we start de-leavening days before, the day before, the first day of unleavened bread, right? And so what we come up with is the identity that John gives this particular time period. So when we talk about the preparation day so far in Scripture, what are we talking about? The day before the days of unleavened bread, only a portion of that day, and it is a Wednesday. when we talk about the preparation day. Okay? Clearly, this is a Jewish construct. According to John, it is not biblical instruction concerning Sabbath observance. Let's understand that. It's interesting to note that the Greek word, again, parasceve, in all six references means simply preparation, not a day of. So is there good reason for making this point that John makes? Well, yes, the Jews had set aside this time before the Seder meal, as I mentioned, to prepare for the Passover meal and the killing of the lambs in the temple and the leavening their homes. Let's go to Mark 15 now. Mark 15, verse 42. This is instance number 5. Mark 15, verse 42 of this Greek phrase, parasceve. Mark 15, verse 42. And now when evening had come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. It's interesting, the Catholics cite this particular verse to tell us that every Friday, and particularly Good Friday, was the preparation. But you and I know that Sabbath is a high day. It is not the weekly Sabbath, right? So this preparation, again, day should be in italics, that is the day before the holy day. Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the holy day, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who himself had been waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So he comes forward. We know it's that same time period that we're describing before. That is at the end of Wednesday. Christ died at 3 o'clock. Joseph of Arimathea comes forward, says, put the body in my family tomb. It was new and unused. And we call it the Garden Tomb. And if you ever go to Israel, you know, you don't need to go to the Catholic Church to find out where Christ was crucified and was buried. You go to the Garden Tomb, which is on a little cliff above the bus station. It's kind of an unusual place, but the Garden Tomb is there and you can go up and see it. So if you ever go to Jerusalem, hopefully you'll have a chance to go see the Garden Tomb. It is still there and a very interesting, operated by a very interesting group of people who also believe that the crucifixion was on a Wednesday and he was resurrected on the Sabbath. Kind of a interesting place to visit if you go to Jerusalem. Okay, let's go to Luke 23 now and notice this fourth instance. Luke 23, verse 54. Again, we read very clearly, the day was the preparation. And here it's translated correctly. It doesn't say preparation day. It says the day was the preparation. Preparation for what? It was the preparation for the days of unleavened bread, and particularly for the slaughter of the lambs at the Passover. It was a day for de-leavening the house. They were preparing for the days of unleavened bread. So in fact, in the six instances that we find the term preparation used in the Bible, it's referring to an annual event, not a weekly event, and it's referring specifically to Wednesday, not Friday. Unless, of course, you're Catholic or Jew. At best, Jews set aside a small period of time on a Friday to not engage in business so they could prepare mentally and some physically for the Sabbath. Verse 54, Luke 23, that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath, which we have identified as the holy day, drew near. Bollinger's Companion Bible Note says of this particular scripture, this is the high Sabbath of John 19, 42, not the weekly Sabbath. So it's very clear what this verse is referring to. what the previous five instances are referring to. So we come to this conclusion that all six references in the New Testament, which is the only place the preparation is mentioned, refer to the day on which Christ was killed. The daylight period before the Jews' Passover meal. The day on which the Passover lambs were killed in preparation for the Jews' Passover. It was an annual day of preparation, not a weekly event. It was the day before the Holy Day, the first day of unleavened bread. It was a Wednesday. There is never any mention in Scripture of the preparation day as Friday. Never. Well, what about Exodus 16? Remember, God gave the children of Israel manna, and He gave them twice as much on Friday, the day before the Sabbath? Occasionally, members will bring this instruction up and say that God gave the Israelites information about the preparation day on this day. Well, is that in fact the case? What was God trying to teach the Israelites by giving them manna? Well, there are two important lessons here. Number one is faith in God to provide for their needs. They needed manna to live, to survive in that desert environment. Number one lesson was have faith in God. He will provide. And God did. God gave them manna for 40 years. I don't know about you, but even the best of food, I wouldn't want to eat it every day for 40 years. So they created all kinds of ways to make it taste good, right? They boiled it, they fried it, they baked it, you know, they probably beat it, let it rise. I mean, who knows what they did with the manna, you know. But they probably tried everything they knew to make it taste a little different all the time. The second reason that God gave them this manna was to remind them they needed to rest on the Sabbath. It was a lesson about the Sabbath. It was not instruction about a day of preparation. It was instruction about keeping the Sabbath and resting on the Sabbath. You may remember the correction that was given the Israelites is because they went out on the Sabbath and collected, as was their custom, because they had just come out of slavery and they were used to working 7 days a week. Only thing is, they didn't know it was seven because they lived in Egypt, and at the time Egypt had a 10-day week. So they just worked every day. They had a 10-day week in Egypt. And those 10 days were named after their gods in Egypt. They weren't named after the Roman gods like our calendar. They were named after the Egyptian gods, right? They didn't have any concept of a 7-day week. God had to teach them about a 7-day week. They were used to working every day, and they were accustomed to a 10-day week. They'd been in slavery over 200 years in Egypt. So what God did, He said, look, I want you to remember the Sabbath day. Remember that command? Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And it comes every 7 days, not every, you know, of course they didn't have any knowledge of the Sabbath. They'd lost that. And He was reminding them, I'm going to remind you, on Friday you're going to get twice as much. Go out there and work hard on Friday and prepare everything you need to on Friday. And then Sabbath, you rest. You rest from all your creative ways to prepare manna, which you would primarily do every other day of the week, including Friday. Only you'd make double. So you wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. The example of the Israelites collecting manna on the day before the Sabbath was, again, not to teach the Israelites about the preparation day. It was to teach the Israelites about observing the Sabbath as a day of rest. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12. I think sometimes, you know, we can develop little customs in the church that aren't really biblical. And that's what I'm talking about today. is a custom that some of us have developed over the years that is really not biblical. And the question is it a good custom? Because there are some customs that we have that we think are good and that may not necessarily be biblical but based on the Bible. And some others that aren't so good. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5. This is another rendering of the Ten Commandments in addition to Exodus 20. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what God was trying to teach the Israelites. That's what he's trying to teach us consistently. As the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do your work. It's interesting, God did not say 5 days you shall do your labor and work. Then on the sixth day, the sixth day you should have a preparation day for the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath you should rest. No, the command is 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I have read and I hear about people wishing one another a happy preparation day in reference to Friday. That is not a biblical construct. It is a Jewish construct at best, and a false teaching of the Catholic and Protestant churches to substantiate their teaching of a Good Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection. Frankly, such discussion often creates an atmosphere of self-righteousness among those who have the time and the ability to take a full day to prepare for the Sabbath. For some, it creates guilt, particularly for working men and women who follow the biblical injunction to work 6 days a week. My wife was a professional woman who worked outside of the home when I met her and had been for about 15 years providing for her daughter. Linda was divorced the first year she was married, and she lived as a single mother providing for her daughter and herself, and she had worked herself into a very good career, and she worked 6 days a week. She had to as a professional woman. When she heard comments like using the preparation day as a Friday, it made her feel guilty, she said, because she didn't have the time. Oftentimes she'd be on the road traveling Tuesday through Thursday and would have to come back to the office Friday. Sometimes she'd be on the road traveling to places like Germany, you know, Europe, Asia. And just to get flights arranged to get back home on a Friday before sunset was sometimes a challenge. It is with many people. So when somebody talks about, hey, you should have a preparation day, in the culture in which we live, that sometimes is impossible. And so just the phrase creates a sense of guilt for people when they barely have time to get in the door before sunset on Friday. Do you understand how this is set up? Now, years and years ago, I think this custom or this phrase came into being in the church when, in the 50s and 60s, when women largely did not work outside the home. And, of course, you had to launder the shirt, you had to iron the shirt, you had to launder the dress, you had to, you know, wash the dress and then iron it, and then you had to prepare lengthy meals. There's no such thing as a microwave. Remember those days? Some of you are nodding your heads. It's too early to sleep, right? So you know what I'm talking about, but thanks to advances in technology today, it doesn't really take a day to prepare for the Sabbath. In fact, many of us are preparing all week, aren't we? Making sure the car is washed. I do that on Thursday usually. Fill up the gas tank on Friday. Doesn't take that much time, frankly, to do those things. Like filling up the gas tank, picking up the laundry, laying out clothes for the Sabbath, preparing meals earlier in the week. Linda and I largely eat leftovers, you know, every Sabbath because we've prepared meals throughout the week. Most people don't need a day for these tasks today, unless they live off the grid. Taking a whole day to prepare for the Sabbath is not a reality for most people today. And as mentioned before, it is not a biblical construct. The biblical construct, which we just read, is rest on the Sabbath and work 6 days. That's the biblical construct. And as mentioned before, it is a Jewish tradition and a Catholic Protestant teaching to identify the preparation day as a Friday. I'm only going to refer to these scriptures. Colossians 2 verse 8, Paul warned, he says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men and not according to Christ." Revelation 22 verse 18 says, "If anyone adds to these things in the book, God will add to him the plagues written in the book." We have to be careful not to add to the Word of God what is not really there. So we should be careful not to add what God has revealed and commanded. Add to what He's commanded. Let's go to Isaiah 58. I'd like to end here. Isaiah 58, talking about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is important. The day is to be set aside for rest and worship and not work. That's pretty clear. Let's read what God says here in Isaiah 58, verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13. "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight," happy Sabbath. It should be a delight. It should be happy for us. "The holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it." God instructs us to work 6 days and rest on the Sabbath. No other day of the week should be esteemed. God wants us to observe His Sabbath according to His command. I hope we can remember that we should confine our customs and our standards to the biblical standard, not to the standard of the Jews or the Catholics or the Protestants. I bid you all a happy Sabbath.